Now, I don't know how many of you have ever tried to garden. It was something that we did every year as I was growing up. We would, especially when I was in junior and senior high, I had part of the responsibility of helping in our family garden. And there were times when that was a great blessing. Middle of June, early July, when the green beans were getting so we could start picking them. There's almost nothing better than fresh green beans off of the vine, except for maybe fresh peas off of the vine. But then as I've gone through life, I've tried again several times as I have been an adult, and I have failed to varying degrees. Most people think about success. Now, mine has been failure. One of the reasons that I've not had a lot of success at gardening is weeds. I'd not gone into the garden at the right time to do some of the weeding that was necessary, or just simply trying to start a garden in a new patch, and the weeds that naturally grow seem to overtake whatever it is I've been trying to grow. And that's the way it is. Without the consistent weeding, without the consistent removal of the vegetation that naturally grows, pretty soon what was supposed to be a garden simply becomes an unruly mess, and the weeds sap the nutrients, and they sap the water from the soil that the plants need, and the plants don't do well, and my gardens fail. Many times, spiritual life, the life of following Christ, seems the same way. If we were to go back to the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, we read this. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." Things didn't change much from the time that Isaiah wrote that in the book of Isaiah in the 7th century B.C. or the 6th century B.C. until Paul is writing to his young protege Timothy, probably in the 60s A.D., and he says this to Timothy. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unloving, unholy, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these," he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You see, I look at those two passages, and what I see is the weeds that grow up naturally. The things that if we aren't careful, we naturally will gravitate towards. Those are the weeds that if we do not take care will grow up and choke out what is the truth. And this morning we're going to see the same thing in Colossians chapter 3. But in this passage we don't just read about the dangers, about the weeds that we have to be careful of, but we read also about the way things are supposed to be. And if we were looking at this, I would say there are two separate opposite extremes that Paul is looking at. And the first is the way things have always been. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is going to tell us about the way things have always been. And he writes this. He says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all." Paul is writing, and he is telling the church at Colossae, he's telling them to beware about the way things are. The way things have been since Adam and Eve made a decision in the Garden of Eden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that point, the good, the things that God created to be good, have become weeds. If you go back and you read through those lists, and we don't have time to look at all of them, but if you look through those lists, you find that many of those things are simply the good things that God has given that have become distorted. They've been manipulated. They have been taken out of their primary context and put in a different context where they become the weeds that grow up and choke out what's supposed to be there. And if we look at it that way, we can say that there is nothing new. I would agree with Solomon from the book of Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun. But we can look around the world today, and whether you go back to Isaiah, whether you look at what Paul wrote in maybe one of his last letters in 2 Timothy, or we look at what his letter says in Colossians, what we find is that there is really nothing new. The actions that Isaiah writes about, the actions that Paul writes about, are the same actions that we see in the world around us today. We still see people living the way that Paul says, be careful, these are the weeds that will grow up. You need to put them aside. You need to work up the soil of your life, and these are some actions. These are some actions that are going to naturally want to grow. Some things that you're naturally going to want to gravitate towards. And we can look at the world around us, and we could agree with what Paul says to Timothy, that in the latter days, things are going to go from bad to worse. Now, I think Paul was writing specifically to Timothy about the things that were going to take place in the very near future for Timothy. But what we find is the cycle comes and the cycle goes. Things might be pretty good in a specific nation or specific region for a while, but after a while, things begin to go downhill. And the actions that have been will be the actions that will come. And so people will engage in things that are not right. And in fact, people will encourage others to do things that are not right. Do you understand that? Look at our society today where we call the things, as Isaiah said, the things we call evil good and we call good evil. And we encourage other people to act in ways similar to those. He also talks about attitudes. He talks about some ways that we think, some ways that we look at life. And he says that we have to be careful. We have to be careful about these attitudes that we let grow up within us. He talks about evil desires. He talks about greed. He talks about anger, wrath, malice. He talks about those things that are within us, that are taking place within us. And the way that we view the world and the way that we think about the world and the things that we let take control in our lives. And he says that those are weeds that will grow up if we're not careful. He says that we have to consciously put them aside. That's like going out into your garden in the middle of the summer and you see down the rows where you have planted things and there are weeds that are growing between the rows and there are weeds that are growing between the plants. And Paul says that we have to put aside. We have to remove. We have to deal with those things in our lives. And so he talks about actions and he talks about attitudes and he talks about the things that we say. He talks about slandering. He says talking about evil things. He says that we should not lie to one another. And the words that we say, the things that come out of our mouth have power and they have meaning and they have the ability to be good or bad. And Paul says that the natural inclination, if we're not careful about removing them, is that those things, those wrong ways of speaking, are the ways that are going to grow up and crop up in our speech. But actually, while the actions and the attitudes and the utterances are the same, the same thing that Isaiah was dealing, they're the same types of things that Paul was dealing with that we deal with today. The difference is they come in some new packages. There's nothing new. I would agree with Solomon. There's really nothing new under the sun. The only difference is the way that things are packaged. How many of you have seen the difference in packaging over your lifetime? I remember when I was a kid, 40 some years ago, that the primary way that you would get Coke was in a bottle. In a glass bottle, or Mountain Dew, or a Pepsi, or whatever particular soda, almost all of them came, and the primary way we would get them where I lived was in a glass bottle. And it wasn't long. I remember when the transition began from bottles of pop to cans of pop. When you started to find the 12-ounce cans of pop, which was good because the bottles weren't that big. So you were getting more in this aluminum can. I also remember when I not because I drank beer, but because we used to go around and collect aluminum cans. And I remember when your beer cans used to come with the pull-off thing that came all the way off. Those made great picture hangers. I was so disappointed when they quit putting those on the back of pop, or because, you know, on the back of cans. But pop cans, from my earliest remembrance, they had the little piece that breaks into the inside. But I remember that change. And then I remember the big change that came a little later in my life. We went from pop cans back to bottles. Only this time the bottles were plastic, and they were they started to become even bigger than the cans. And so it was a great thing. And then I remember one particular soda company decided, you know, if you've just got that little hole, pop isn't going to come out right. So we're going to put a big hole on our pop bottles. And things have changed. The packaging has changed. Even in 40 years. Well, the packaging, there's nothing new under the sun, just a difference in the way that it's delivered. And some things are different about the way sin is delivered, about the way these weeds are packaged and brought to us. The first one is new names. You go back to Paul's day, and Paul would write about, and even before Paul, Moses and the prophets would write about, and their warning was to their people about temple prostitution. Don't go to the temples. Don't engage with the prostitutes. And we had, there was a name. They were the temple prostitutes. And in that day, much of the prostitution that took place in the temples or around the temples and had some religious overtones. In our day, we have different names for it. Today, we call them brothels, and we call them sex workers. We try not to offend them by calling them prostitutes. We no longer call them temples. We just give them a different name. It's the same thing. And we could go down the list of what Paul has listed. That's just one that's pretty prevalent, where we have tried to make it more attractive and tried to make it more appealing and try to make it easier to tolerate. And so we no longer call it temple prostitution. We call it visiting a sex worker at a brothel. So much better, right? It's the same weed. We're just calling it by a different name. It's the same poison. We're just putting it in a different package and trying to dress it up and make it look good. There are new ways of delivering the same sins in our day. In Paul's day, you would have seen men, and they would have been going to the gymnasium. And you'd go to the gymnasium and you would do your workouts, you would do your things in the nude. I'm not sure how that works or why you'd want to do it, but they did. And then they would go to their bathhouses. And again, they would be nude. And there was this showing off of the physique, and there was this varying ability to show off both sexes. Today, we don't generally go to gymnasiums and get nude, although sometimes the clothes that people are wearing aren't much better. Bathhouses, well, that's a give or a take, but generally we go swimming and there is at least some sort of clothing being worn. But we come to the same problems. We may not go to the gymnasium the same way. We may not go to the bathhouses the same way, but you look at what is prevalent on cable television and the things that are promoted and the things that are encouraged in our society on television. And you read through that list of what Paul says here in Colossians, and I tell you, it's just a new way of delivering the same poison. You look at our printed media, and our printed media today, there is some stuff that you could read through this list of what Paul's writing, and you could say, well, that fits pretty good right there. In fact, one of the words that Paul uses, he says, immorality, the word that Paul uses there in Colossians chapter 3 for immorality is the Greek word porneia. You probably don't have to work too hard to figure out what English word we use that comes from that Greek root. Printed media and pornography are explicit. Although they're not much different than what was available to be seen at the bathhouses and the gymnasiums, it's just printed instead of physically before you. And there is a great wealth of problem in our society and in our world today over the internet. Internet's a great thing. There are things I love about the internet. The problem is Satan knows that anything that's good can be twisted and distorted, and anything that's good provider of something can be used to provide sin. And you look today, and you don't have to look very far to begin to see the same things that Paul was talking about are simply being packaged in a new way and delivered to us in a new shiny fashion. And I'd say very much that what Isaiah wrote is what we see today, that we see that we live in a day and age when evil is celebrated as good, and good is called evil. But it's important that we don't just look at the evil, but we look at the good as well, and we think about things. I would say if the evil is the way things always have been, the weeds that are growing up, then we ought to ask, what is it we're supposed to be growing in our garden? And we look and we see things as they should be. And Paul goes on from where we left off at verse 11. And in verse 12, he says this. He says, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And what we see here is the way things should be. When God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden, and He gave them the responsibility of taking care of and caring for the garden. It wasn't until after the sin that weeds began to be an issue for Adam and Eve. And it took work to nurture the plants that we want to grow, and to keep the weeds out. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. The way things should be are the way God created them to be. And that's what we want to grow, and that's what we want to nourish in our life. It is the things that God intended. And Paul says that if we're careful, if we're cautious about dealing with the weeds and putting some effort into to our spiritual lives, that we can begin to see everything new. not the old way, not the weeds that are growing, but we can begin to see some new things. And he talks about a new demeanor, a new way that we handle ourselves, a new way that we deal with the world around us. And we no longer submit as slaves to sin, but now we live as followers of Jesus Christ. We no longer give in to the weeds, but now we begin to nurture the good things that are supposed to be growing within us. Paul's list here in Colossians isn't much different than the one that we know well from Galatians chapter 5, where he says, "This is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." If we are nurturing the spiritual and dealing with the weeds, those things are going to grow up within us. And Paul says that we simply have to focus. We have a new demeanor. We also have a new relational standard. If you read through those two lists, the negative and the positive, the old and the new, the way things are and the way things should be, what you'll find is that there is one common denominator that will be a new relational standard. And that is love. That is love. If you look at the things of this world and the way things are, what you find is it's a lot of me, me, me. I want, I think I need, I deserve. It's for me. Whereas the new standard, the new way of doing things is love. If we learn to love, well, then we don't have to worry nearly as much about the weeds. And he also says that we'll have a new vocabulary. A new vocabulary where instead of speaking lies, we speak the truth. Instead of holding a grudge, we offer forgiveness. Instead of me, we say Christ. We have a new vocabulary that we are supposed to be nurturing and we're supposed to be working on in our lives that changes things from the way they are to the way they should be. And we see this great way. You know, naturally, things deteriorate and move towards the way things are, but we are looking at a new way. But it isn't so new. Ken talked or spoke in communion meditation from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses gives them what is known as the great Shema, the hero Israel. You look at Deuteronomy, then you also see that Paul gives, or not Paul, Moses gives another reiteration of what we know as the Ten Commandments. The people first heard them from God at the base of the mountain, then they heard them from Moses, and we read about it in Exodus 20, and then we come to Deuteronomy, and we read about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments begin with, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." And if we get number one right, if we can learn to live and to get number one right and get number one growing in our lives, where God alone is our God, everything else will be right. Everything else will be right. If we simply get God as God and God alone, everything else happens naturally. That's why Paul writes and he says to the Colossians, "Set your eyes on the things above." He reminds them that they are bought with the blood of Christ. He tells them that that they belong to Him. And He and His exalted state is supposed to be our focus. And if we get that right, that Jesus Christ is God, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He has died to pay the price for our sins, and one day He's coming again, if we get that right and we worship Him and keep that as our focus, everything else, the weeds won't be a concern. The fruit and the produce of what is coming in the garden we're trying to grow will be natural. But here's what I know. Too often we don't get that right. So if we look again at the Ten Commandments and we go to the Tenth Commandment that says, you shall not covet, and then has a list of things that we shouldn't covet, of things that our neighbors have, things that belong to them, relationships that they have. And I would tell you this, if you get number 10 right, if you don't always get number one perfectly, if you can get number 10 right, the second half of the Ten Commandments, from love or honor your parents through do not covet, if you get do not covet right, the others, well, they're going to fall in place as well, because that is the way we learn to love. And if we learn and we get number 10 right, we're going to treat others with a love that is different from anything that the world sees and anything that the world has to offer. And if we learn to do that, we're going a long ways to doing what Paul says when he says that we're to grow. But then I like what he says towards the end of that. Whoops, wrong button. Where he says this, because part of the new way of doing things is encouraging one another. And Paul says that we are to, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a lot different than lying to one another. That's a lot different than slandering someone. That is a long ways from holding a grudge and saying mean things about other people. If we can learn to encourage one another, honestly and truthfully, if we can change our language and we can change our view and we can change the way that we encourage one another, there will be some healthy growth taking place and you won't be able to control it. And we may never perfectly match up to what Paul says is the way that we should live. But that should not keep us from striving for that goal. While we live in this present world, we should strive to live in such a way that our lives are markedly different from the world around us, in the things that we do, different in the way that we talk, different in the way that we give, difference in the truth that we proclaim, difference in forgiveness, difference in relationship. See, when we learn to weed out the sinful and the damaging weeds of this present age, we give room for the fruit of our relationship with Christ to grow. And as our relationship with Christ grows, our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ will be growing. As our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ grow, we should see that the world will take notice. It will not always like and it will not always enjoy the difference, but they will not be able to deny the truth. And this is what we are called to do. This is who we are called to be. This is the King that we are called to represent. Let us go, and more faithfully live that life every day. Let's stand together this morning and sing this next song.